in a world that has more than enough information and noise? Is it even possible to truly anchor ourselves and have peace in a scattered world? Hi, this is Pamela and Mary, and we are a mother-daughter team who span two generations but share one message. We will delve into what it looks like to be fully integrated, body, soul, and spirit, and will bring encouragement and hope all along the way. We get it. Life is hard. And let's be real. Hard doesn't even begin to describe it on some days. But we want you to know that you're not alone. And not only that, we are here to come alongside you and cheer you on as you walk out your individual storyline. So join us as we journey together and laugh, cry, and everything in between. Welcome to the More Than Enough Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the More Than Enough podcast. Hey Madre, how's it hanging?
Oh, good. I got to go way out into the country yesterday and all day, about an hour from me here. We were on a gal who I've been in a relationship with for a long time. She's a young mom with a lot of kids, and their family, the dads, the uncles all got together and bought hundreds and hundreds of acres. And we got to go down to the creek and walk trails and be in the woods a little bit.
Oh, so fun.
And see these cool cabins that are all over the property. And there was right by the creek, they actually built almost like the size of a little tiny, the tiny house idea. It's a cabin that was built for kids to play in, like a playhouse.
What?
But it's like a legitimate little tiny cabin, wood cabin.
That's amazing.
I know. So anyway, that was inspiring, and rode the distance back and forth with a dear friend. And so it was a full day.
That sounds lovely. My 16-year-old son, he sends me Zillow links daily of tracts of 50 acres. He's like, Mom, what about this one? What about this one?
Oh!
50 acres in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, buddy, that's amazing and beautiful, but we would literally never see anybody. And it's in the middle of a mountain surrounded by national forest. He's like, I know, isn't it perfect? So yeah, no, I definitely have some kids that would love that. It's amazing.
Yes, to be out there with the bears and the hawks and just no people anywhere.
Bears and the hawks. That's right. That's right. Today, we are talking about connection with our husbands. We are talking about what it looks like when we are not on the same page. That can be a lot of things. That can be a lot of things. It can be emotionally, spiritually. And Madre and I have felt probably all the things with our husbands at different points of not feeling fully on the same page. So we're going to talk about, just to give you an overview, we're going to be talking about why we feel like it's important that we are on the same page. But when we're not, what do we do then? We could say, yeah, that is so important. That's a great idea. But we all know that those ideals can break down really fast.
Really fast.
Real fast. So what then?
Yeah, because we're kind of starting out with that. This is something that's near and dear to my heart in terms of pain. We have really great things that are dear to our heart, and we have tender things that are painful to our heart. There's different times along the way in my 46, 47 year marriage that are just have been painful. And one of them is going into marriage by really believing a set of things that you're completely on the same page and finding out in a very short period of time you're not. So it's almost like you've been betrayed, or like it's a bait and switch. So it was very hard to adjust in just a few months at being married at 18, that something was very different than I had anticipated. I think about that because I've been married a long time. And in that first phase that probably went on for a number of years, I'm just constantly trying to chase him and catch him and make him be on the same page as me. And all the pain that was involved in that.
What does that look like when you say chase him to be on the same page as you? So you can give listeners an example of what that looks like for you as far as not being on the same page.
Well, I'm actually going to, I can give you a physical, you'll get kind of a picture of what was happening. And then I'll also give more what that meant really in emotional too. But my husband had what we would come to find is something called attachment disorder. And it's very difficult for people who have not had any kind of strong connection at birth and childhood.
Yeah.
They feel isolated and alone. And so it really affects all of their relationships as well as their most intimate relationships. I had no clue of any of this. I was a kid when I got married. So literally after an event and in our third month of marriage, so much came out about my husband and his past. it was all traumatizing to me. Some of the things he was telling me, I just can't really get into that story. It will be in the book, Considered All Joy. But the result of that is I felt like every time he was hiding or using drugs, literally the more I chased him emotionally, the more he would run away. So that can be one of those responses to attachment disorder, is that people will run away from you, so to speak. That avoidant behavior is what it's called. He avoided anything that was painful. And when I had just been the love of his life, our dating, and he'd gotten radically saved, I was sitting on the top of the mountain as queen of Christianity in my high school and in my church, and et cetera, et cetera. So I just had a set of expectations. Not that I could list out, but I just expected that we were on the same page. Spiritually, in joy, in positivity. I'm a very positive person. None of those things aligned. We couldn't have been more on opposite pages, right down to even just small, ridiculous details. And when I say run away, I literally mean that when he left me the first time, that was kind of demonstrative, where he just checked out and he just had to run and go far away, just smoke pot and disconnect to get rid of all the anxiety that he was feeling of expectations. But that began to be a pattern in our marriage and how he would respond to pressure and expectation and responsibility. The weight of any of those things were crushing to him. And of course, I wasn't talking about it sanely like I am right now. I was having wildly emotional responses. I would almost like foam at the mouth of screaming.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just go ballistic, but he was triggering every unsafe thing from my really hard childhood. So we were just the example or the poster child of what you would not want to start with that as a foundation. So we were on the opposite page of everything, and yet we shared the same kinds of brokenness. But here's an example. I can remember two of the times, at least I have held in my memory, is that I'm literally chasing him out the door, begging him not to leave me. And I literally ran down the road in two of them or two different neighborhoods, chasing the car as he drove away. Many of you are already like, that's the most heartbreaking thing I ever heard. But I would just say, 46 years later, we've worked through a lot of things. But being on different pages, when we talk about the subject today, I want to lead with that story. I wasn't planning to until you just asked me to, Mary. I want to lead with that because I want to say to you, I'm not in any way saying my situation was the worst. We all have dealt with so many things, and I don't even begin to think we should ever compare. But I would say this. I think that having to adapt to being on different pages, and it evolves to other things. So this is just the beginning of the book and the story. But where it landed me on being on different pages, vastly different pages, is that I was desperate for God to meet all the needs that I thought husbands would meet. And so I could not wait. I tried that for the first several years, just sort of holding my breath. It's like you're in a race and you stop because you feel sorry for your good friend and you want them to catch up with you when you're friends and you're running a race, let's say. Come on, you can do it. But you're doing that emotionally because there's something wired in us, whether it's intuitive or it's taught biblically, that somehow the husband is strong and he's going to lead the way and he's going to protect and help. And spiritually to women, particularly believing women, you can develop a false narrative that I don't even believe the Bible actually teaches. We can be on wildly different pages, and we have to make decisions to say, God, how am I going to get all of this brokenness and all my needs met when there isn't that person, even though he is my husband? So where am I going to get it from? Well, I'll tell you, there's no person who can help in that in terms of your deepest longings, and it's going to come from Jesus. So I know that's kind of a dramatic story, but I would just say that would be my first point of reference of being on different pages in pretty much every part of our lives. That's how it started. And of course, without intervention, those things can go a long, long time. It doesn't matter how far apart you are in one way, in terms of at least getting your own needs met, that God is available. And there are maybe more healthy ways than chasing your husband down the street, or emotionally, you're chasing him. and you're trying to get you're trying to get handcuffs on him and pull him back to you. And so that isn't the best way. That's my whole life. I have examples of what not to do.
Yeah. And I think we can be on different pages in so many different ways. You bring an example of him being so emotionally detached because of his own brokenness and trauma. There can be all sorts of disconnects that we're not on the same pages with our spouses that can bring turmoil and anxiety. I know that spiritually, not being on the same page, I feel like I talk to a lot of women. And like you said, Mom, I feel like that was such a good example about the race, because I feel like I hear from a lot of women, and I know you do, is like, I don't want to run ahead of them. I'm trying to pull them along. And so they're always trying to be like, hey, have you heard about this Bible study? Well, I'm not saying we can't offer suggestions at times, but we know our weird micromanagey control-y selves being like, hey, did you like that message? Yeah, you liked it. It was good, huh? What did you think? It's the epitome of what you said, like chasing them down the street. Did you listen? Are you listening? Do we believe that the Holy Spirit is leading them? Do we trust that the Holy Spirit will have his way with them? Maybe, you know, my story, I shared it back in the earlier podcast about me and my husband, how my husband and I started our marriage with both of us walking with the Lord, and he wanted to be a worship leader and we wanted to be on the mission field. And then he decided after lots of his own introspection that he didn't want to walk out Christianity and that he didn't believe in these things. And so that was a huge deal in our marriage. And we had 3 kids at the time. And so when he decided to say, hey, I'm an atheist or an agnostic, I don't believe in any of these things anymore, we were hugely on separate pages. That was almost 10 years ago. And so it was a pivotal fork in the road of, okay, how do we walk this out? And it's been a journey. It's been a huge journey. But like you said, Mom, I think that it has magnified the reality of what was already true, is that my race with the Lord is my race with the Lord, period. Yes, I'm running with my husband. Yes, that's awesome if he wants to run with me. But at the end of the day, I am running with the Lord. And do I cheer them on? Yes. Am I interceding and contending? Yes. But my running hard after the Lord cannot be contingent on my kids or my husband also walking with the Lord.
I think some ways, Mary, even though it's been very painful to both of us in different ways in our journeys in this centrality of focus with the Lord, I'm not sure either one of us would be who we are today in terms of our faith and God journey and stories. I wouldn't choose this. I don't think Mary would either, but it's out of our hands. And we know that God is sovereign and good, and he loved my husband when he was broken. He loves him for even in his still brokenness today in lesser ways, as he does me and you listening. And Mary, I agree with Mary 1,000%. I have talked to a lot of women over the years, and that is the key thing I hear. It is the key thing I hear.
Yeah.
Is this idea that, and they're distraught over it. If they believe with everything in them, that is what's wrong in their marriage. If their husband were leading well, that's what I get told. He's not leading our family. I'm not in any way discounting that if a man is a believing man, that is part of his leadership. But I just cannot stress enough to everyone listening, if this is impacting you and your family in a very direct way, and you know what we're talking about here, and if you're a non-believer listening, just try to glean what you can on this point. But I would say, even to non-believers we might be talking to, or seekers that we're talking to, I think we can still do that in our relationships with the significant person we're with, right? We can expect certain things even just because of the way we've been raised. So we can definitely, all couples out there can really be on the different page in ways. But to, again, believing wives, I think the most important thing I would want you to know in this podcast today is that you 1,000% are not called to sit in the middle of the race, get on the bleachers, and just keep cheering your husband on, and you're going to get up and run again when he's with you.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing unbiblical about you still running your race with Jesus. Actually, it's just the opposite. We're called, and we are individuals before the Lord. And to cheer them on in terms of loving them well and encouraging them where they're at, that's what we do as believers, is we bring encouragement to people who aren't walking with God. And we don't bring judgment. We don't bring criticism. And we try to model what Jesus looks like, so that the beautiful things about him become maybe more curious to the people that either aren't walking with him or have walked away. We just want to really encourage you to know we're calling you to run the race with Jesus despite where your spouse is, because that will grow into bitterness. It will come out in your judgments of him, and it's a no-win street for intimacy, emotional trust, or building any kind of bridge to draw them into greater faith. You do become the light in your family, with your children, and with your spouse, again, whatever your situation is. We just really encourage you to maybe rethink your position on where you're at with feeling stuck with your husband not being who he should be, because that doesn't cause you at all to get out of the race. It actually will cause you to be desperate and run the race with more centrality of focus, is what we have found.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Another thing I thought of as far as what's keeping us stuck when we're not on the same page with our husbands and what's keeping us in this mental negative loop is comparing. And I feel like the word comparing, we talk about a lot. Everybody talks about a lot. It's like comparison is the thief of all joy. And when I started thinking about that, I was like, no, it's not just the thief of all joy. It obliterates all joy. It blows it up and it's gone. Comparison steals it, stomps on it, and then puts in its place bitterness and anger. And I know you know what I'm talking about, everybody.
Don't you pretend like you
it's
don't.
Like you, yeah. You're like, whoa, that's heavy. Okay. You see somebody with their, maybe this is just me. Okay. With their little family and the husband's leading the kids and they're all leading worship and praying together and singing together. The husband's like, okay, guys, now we're going to go do missions work. Come on, little kids. And they're all listening. And anyways, and you're just like watching. And we've talked about in other episodes, you can't control that first immediate sucker punch reaction where you're just like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But it's what do we do after that feeling, that initial feeling of, oh, it could be a longing. It could be like, oh, I still want that. And that's a beautiful feeling to want something beautiful, whatever that looks like, whatever your picture is of comparison, it doesn't matter. It could be a husband that you're like, oh, wow, they are financially on the same page and their husband isn't gambling all their money away. Wouldn't that be nice? It's whatever. Fill in the blank of what you're seeing another family and you're comparing. And we want to justify that we have a right to compare because we think we deserve that thing. We deserve to have a husband like that, a spouse like that, a relationship and a family like that. But I would caution you that it doesn't just steal our joy. It obliterates it and fills us with bitterness and offense. Can we want and desire those things? Of course we can. But when we just sit and ruminate on those things, it twists the narrative in our own head. And something we could do instead would to be in that moment or outside of that moment to take a breath and to speak even out loud and say, okay, Lord, that is not my story right now. But do I believe that your storyline over my life is beautiful? Jesus, do I believe that your storyline is better and that I can trust your narrative over my life?
Many things come down to that. And that if we've already come to a decision in our mind, reminding ourselves, sometimes you may not know that. And so you're digging to search, God, can I really trust you? Are you really good? Are you really for me? Are you powerful enough to make something happen that I can't make happen? These things to me are invaluable in the life throughout my whole marriage at different times, just different things. But I would say yes to that. I agree with that. I wanted to also throw something in on this whole idea is if you feel like you and your husband aren't on the same page. And I would say, and I'm going to broaden that spiritual to the emotional too. We talk a lot about emotional maturity today, wholeness. And so always thinking about brokenness and mental health and all that too. But in all those pieces, I just want to encourage you and also say that it is okay and it is right and good for you to be in touch with your feelings of, let's say, that maybe you feel alone, maybe you feel lonely, because there's not even really connection emotionally going on. We just want to say we've experienced those things.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure even people who have good marriages don't experience those things.
Absolutely.
But if this is an ongoing theme for you listening, that you can be in a house full of children and a husband Everything looks good on the outside, but you feel lonely and alone. You know that your husband is not in a good space. And frankly, you might not be in a good space either. But the fact is, those feelings of maybe feeling all alone because you're just not connecting, disappointed where promises are made and it's just not happening. And that's getting long. We understand those kind of frustrations, or maybe you're just getting weary of not having the promises that you've prayed for come to fruition. In all those things, we're just reminding you, don't turn on the Lord because of that, because you will need the Lord to sustain your heart, because those things are all real. They're not your imagination. There's nothing outward that you can really do to fix it, but just acknowledging it with God. God, I'm tired. God, I am lonely. And I'm just so weary of all of this. I would say if you're into some of those more despairing and heartbroken places, it won't really help you to just fall out of the race yourself, because that's really the only thing that's going to sustain you.
I think of the psalm of, where else will I go? Where will I run to but to you, Lord? There is no other option. There is no other solution. And that's what we're saying. We're not minimizing the pain and the hard of not being on the same page as our spouse is, the person that we're supposed to be the most connected with. And when we're not on the same page, emotionally, spiritually, just practically, financially, when we're not on the same page, it brings so much stress and pain. It can bring distrust. It brings all sorts of things. So we're not minimizing it and putting it all in a little box, because we know there's so many different facets and there's different things that need to be walked out depending on the situation. But all we're saying is that you being on the same page is not the magic solution that will all of a sudden make you be able to run your race with the Lord well. You can do that regardless of whatever race your spouse is running.
Yeah, that's so good, Mary. And again, not minimizing all the pain that you still will hold in your heart. And yet this reality, we believe, can make a huge difference in your life and even in the life of your family, because you have chosen to run your race and stay in your lane. We're closing. I just want to name, it's funny how we can, particularly Mary and I, we're always into the emotion and the soul and all these things and the spirit realm.
Yeah.
Practically speaking, I want to give a kind of a quick, more lighthearted example of how we can be on different pages. I've talked about this renovation we're doing a few miles from us, and it's just amazing how many different pages we have been on in the course of a renovation of a house. And my husband had this vision for the side porch. Okay. It's the side of the house. I only asked for one porch. We're putting in three kinds of outdoor spaces. Nobody cares about the side of a house, but he had this exquisite vision to build this side porch that was elaborate. I argued with him for the last maybe year and a half. That is the dumbest thing. What are we putting money into a side porch for? He claimed it had the better view on the house, blah, 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 blah. All that to say, we dialogued. At the end of the day, he made his decision and he chose to build this porch. He hired somebody. They came in. He shared the vision. They had it done in 4 days. He kept the whole thing from me. And he'd already gone forward. I was already angry. He hadn't listened. Here it was. He built it and I haven't even seen it, because he's not letting me see it, because he's going to say, you know what? You're going to wait till the end and I'm going to show it to you when it's done. This actually ended up being the greatest sacrificial love gift my husband could give me. When I saw that porch, it was everything I would have ever wanted and didn't know that I wanted. And so we were on different pages, but the end, surprisingly to me, his idea was better than mine.
Yes.
And I was amazed. I just want to say then that so you can talk through things, you can keep talking and you might not get your way on different pages. Practically, there are times that you have to pause and realize that your spouse may have an idea. It may work out, but even if it doesn't, that's when we have to be sure that we don't run wild with how I told you this was going to happen. These are places just in a practical day-to-day life. We have a back porch. I only asked for one porch. I asked, there has to be a screen on something because I get eaten alive by mosquitoes. He was 100%. Oh yes, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. At the end of the day, he built a deck. It's not covered. There's no screen. And it's beautiful, but here's where compromise comes in. But he says, at a point in time. He knows exactly how he'll do it, but he just can't do it now. Okay, that's compromise, right? We came together. He built phase one of it, but the other part will happen later. Okay, we both saw, we compromised, and I was able to do that. Now, sometimes you do stand your ground when you're on different pages because you get to do that. Now, you do get to stand your ground in marriage because God has said that we're the two are one. In all marriages, there's this equity because we're male, female, and we both bring our own set of stuff to the table. But there is this front porch. Our front porch mattered. We talked about it since we bought it 3.5 years ago. We knew this is what we were going to do. It was this size, and it had to be this size to make the statement that we needed to make the house look differently dramatically. Anyway, that porch, oh my gosh, at the last minute, he starts to pull out. No, that's too big. We can't do that. We talked about it for 3.5 years. He comes home one day and says, I'm going to change it tomorrow. I'm like, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm not going to change my mind, but I did it as nicely as I could. And at the end of the day, the contractor built the thing in the way that I wanted it because I stood my ground. I knew he was having a moment of fear and panic. And I knew that this was always his heart all along to do this thing. So I stood my ground. I kept reminding him of what it was that he desired from the beginning. And in the end of the day, we did the bigger, longer porch. These are examples of everything that can happen when we're on different pages. Sometimes you might not get your way. Sometimes we do have to compromise and maybe do it in a different way. And sometimes we just have to stand our ground. These are practical things, but they're all important to know that any one of these tiny little side things can turn into a mountain. And the more that the little things, we've talked about a million paper cuts. And we want to also acknowledge for those of you out there who maybe seem, well, it's not quite as big as we're talking about here today, that even those tiny little things of being on different pages, financially, projects, where you're going to go on vacation. We want to say if those are mounting and there's just continual breakdown of respect, understanding, connection, compromise, those, believe it or not, those little foxes can often turn in to what erodes the foundation of your marriage. We're just asking you to look at all these pieces today and to acknowledge that wherever you and your husband are not on the same page or you and your spouse, that there is a way for you to still have joy and peace despite the fact that you and your husband are not identical, that you're not thinking, believing, feeling, hoping, wishing, vision casting for the exact same thing because you're two different individuals. And in God, he really celebrates and has designed us to each be unique. Let's try to start looking at our commonalities and not be so taken back by the differences that we either get lost or we just quit the race entirely. We're so glad you joined us. Thanks again. We love just getting crazy with you guys as we get all heated up, Mary and I, and talking about all these deep and beautiful things. Thanks again.